so in Matthew chapter number 13, we'll read two verses. We'll pray, and then I'll bring a thought for you this morning that the Lord has laid on our hearts. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now, don't get to shouting right now. Don't get to shouting too early, but we're going somewhere. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning for allowing us to be here. I pray, God, that you would help us in a mighty way, Lord, to get something from your word today. Lord, do something for us that we cannot do for ourselves, that we'll walk out of this place different than when we walked in because we've been in your presence. God, I pray the blessing on your word. I pray that it take on fertile ground, produce life everlasting, fruit abundantly. Lord God, I pray that in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Here, what you're going to find in Matthew chapter number 13 is a parable. What is a parable? A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Jesus would use parables like this so he could relate and teach somebody some spiritual truths. So when he spoke in terms that people could identify with, when Jesus said a sower went out to sow seed in his field, people knew what he was talking about. When Jesus went and said this woman was in the kitchen and making bread, people knew, could relate to what he was talking about. When Jesus talked about fishing and dragging a net, people could relate to that and knew what he was talking about. And he was teaching a earthly a story with a heavenly meaning. These seven parables in Matthew 13, doctrinally speaking, could relate to the kingdom of heaven and the nation of Israel, but I want to draw a spiritual application, if I could, this morning, and that spiritual application is to compare that great pearl of the pearl of great price to the church of the living God. I'm not talking about a building. I'm not talking about a denomination. I'm talking about the church, which is his body, made up of those that are saved, bought by the blood of the Lamb. Stay in your seat. Don't get excited. But this first thing I want to show you, and let me just see if I can help us right here. This merchant man is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. This merchant man we'll see in verse 45. When you look at verse 45 there, this merchant man went seeking goodly pearls. You'll notice this merchant man is seeking. The merchant man went out looking for goodly pearls. I'm glad that one day Jesus came looking for me. When I couldn't come to where he was, he came and was looking for me. Started in the book of Genesis, and God went searching for Adam. Adam, where art thou? The heavenly merchant went seeking goodly pearls. After Adam had sinned, God came looking and seeking who he was. That story reminds me of when the shepherd was counting sheep. He says 97, 98, and 99. Hang on a minute. There's one sheep that's lost, and that shepherd goes and leaves the 99, seeking that one that was lost. Luke 19, verse 10, the Son of Man is come seeking and to save that which was lost. Thank God, as a young boy, God came looking for me, came to where I was, sat down in my lap. I gave my heart and life to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank God I've been found. Psalm 40 said, I waited patient for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. You ever been there? Out of the miry clay, set my feet on a rock, established my goings. He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Not only that merchant man went seeking, but that merchant man sacrificed. Notice it said he sold all that he had. This merchant man so desired this pearl that no price was too high, no sacrifice was too great. He was willing to give everything that he had to buy this pearl, to make this pearl his very own. He shed all of his blood. Boy, I'm thankful John 3:16 is still in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He said, I'll become sin. Boy, I'm glad that even though he was rich, he became poor so I could become rich. I'm glad that even though he was willing to go to the cross and cry, I thirst, he was willing to do that so I could drink from water everlasting. I'm glad he was willing to be forsaken, and he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken? Just so I could never be forsaken again. That merchant man was seeking, he was sacrificing. But number three, that merchant man was securing. Not only was he seeking, he was sacrificing, but the Bible said in verse 46, and bought it. Not only did he go seeking after it, not only did he sacrifice everything and bankrupt heaven just so he could find that one pearl, not only that, he went and bought it for his very own. I'm glad I've been found. I've been sacrificed for. Jesus told Simon Peter, I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He didn't say, I'm thinking about building one. I might build one. He said, I'm not going to try to build one. He said, I will build my church. Here in 2020, he's still building a church. There's nothing the government can do about it. There's nothing Osama, your mama, or Obama can do about it. The church is alive and well. You say the church is going down. The church ain't going down. We're fixing to go up in 2020. The church is alive and well. You may hear that Wall Street's going to collapse, but the church is going to keep marching on. You may hear that Walmart's going bankrupt. The church is going to keep marching on. Hallelujah. Now, let me give you just a few things. I told you three things about this merchant man, but I got three things I want to tell you about this pearl. This pearl, I want to describe, first of all, the conception of the pearl. This conception of the pearl is the only gem that is found in a living organism. Well, let me say it again. The pearl is the only one that's found in something that is living. You say, why a pearl? Why did he describe the church as a pearl? Why wasn't it a diamond? Why wasn't it a ruby? Well, we're going to find out this morning. This pearl is formed in an oyster. A tiny grain of sand or a small piece of dirt makes its way into the shell of an oyster through the side of that oyster. An oyster is a part of the mollusk family. They have no bones. And most of them are water animals, very few land animals. You might think of a snail, and snails can be in the water or on the land. But this pearl starts as a tiny grain of sand or a small piece of dirt that has wounded the side of this oyster. Number one, the place the pearl is conceived. It makes no difference how big, how small, how expensive a pearl might be. All pearls started out at the very bottom. At the very bottom of the ocean, no matter how big, no matter how small, no matter how expensive, every pearl started out at the same place, in the same ocean floor at the very bottom. Now, I know that's not very motivational. But I don't care if you got big sinners in here, little sinners in here. Hey, we all start out on the bottom. I don't care how big a sinner you are, how little a sinner you are. If you was raised up in church all your life, or you've been sinning all your life out in the world and never been to church, we all started out on the bottom. The place where the pearl was conceived. Number two, the particle involved in this conception. Every pearl. Now, don't let this offend you now, but every pearl had its beginning as a worthless piece of sand. I don't want to offend you, but every pearl started out as a worthless piece of sand. If you'll look this up, the body, your body, everything that makes it up, the blood, the bones, and the organs, and all of that kind of stuff that's involved in making a body, you're worth about $1.98. So if you think you're really something, just remember you're worth about $1.98. Hallelujah. And you started out as a small piece of sand. I want you to notice the place where it was conceived, the particle involved in this conception, but then there was pain involved in the conception. Let me explain it to you. When this foreign matter or this alien substance enters into the shell, the oyster experiences excruciating pain. No matter how beautiful the pearl, how expensive the pearl, it took pain and suffering to bring this pearl into existence. Just like the pearl, we all had our beginning at the very bottom. It don't matter how good a sinner you are, how bad a sinner you are, we all started at the bottom. We all without hope, we all without God. I think the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Some of you may have been out in the world, some of you may have been raised in church, but we all had our start at the same place, and that's on the bottom of the ocean floor. Now, I want to show you something about, we got this conception of the pearl, but number two, let me show you something about the covering of this pearl. Not only the conception of the pearl, but the covering of the pearl. Now, watch this. This oyster, being a member of this mollusk family, has a gland called the mantle. And this mantle produces a lustrous substance, that white substance. It's called nacre, N-A-C-R-E, nacre. And that's that white substance. When you open a oyster, you'll see that white substance in there. And when a grain of sand, get this now, when a grain of sand gets into that shell, the oyster's first reaction is to try to get rid of this thing out of me. It's causing me pain. It's causing me suffering. It's causing me excruciating pain. My first instinct is to get it out. In an effort to relieve the pain, the oyster begins to cover the grain of sand with this white substance. Layers upon layers upon layers upon layers. This tiny piece of sand, layers after layers of this white substance. And the oyster realizes the more layers, the more covering that I put on this piece of sand, it's relieving me of the pain and the suffering. The more that I cover this piece of dirt, this piece of sand that has injured my side and now has come into me, and my first reaction is to get rid of it, but I've realized that the more I cover it and the more I cover this with this white substance, it's relieving me of my pain. Just like the pearl, we all started out at the bottom. A piece of foreign matter that has entered into this process. The grain of sand the oyster accepts this grain of sand. No longer does the oyster try to get rid of this foreign matter, but now this oyster has covered it and accepted this grain of sand. I think the Bible says something like this, that at that time, ye were without Christ, being aliens, from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ, ye who sometimes were afar off have been made nigh by the blood, by the covering, by the blood of Christ. Now, therefore, you're no more strangers, you're no more foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Stay in your seat, don't get excited. Then this thing says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. This oyster now has accepted this piece of sand and started covering it. And number two, this oyster adorns this grain of sand. This grain of sand is covered. It begins to take on a different appearance. Once the grain of sand gets in, gets covered, it no longer looks like a piece of dirt. It no longer looks like a piece of sand. It takes on a new appearance. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become brand new. It took on a different appearance. He no longer sees. The oyster no longer sees the mud and the mire. He sees a new covering that he has adorned. Not only accepted, but now he has adorned that. Number three, this oyster adopts the grain of sand. At first, this sand is foreign matter. At first, this oyster is trying to get rid of this sand out of my body. But the oyster realizes that it can cover this grain of sand and make it a part of his own body. This oyster realizes that he can take this foreign matter and make it a part of his own body. This oyster, in his mind, after the sand has been covered, after this grain of sand, a part of himself, he takes that grain of sand and he sort of looks at this grain of sand, and now it starts to be covered and takes on a new appearance, and he looks at this pearl now and he says, I'd sort of like having you around. I used to, when you wasn't saved, I didn't like you. But now you done got in, got covered. I've done adorned you. I've accepted you in the beloved. You've took on a new appearance. I'm glad you're a part now. Isn't that something? Galatians, you say, preacher, where's that in the Bible? Well, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that ye might receive the adoption of sons. And because you're sons, God hath sent forth the spirit of his son unto our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Not only does this grain of sand, not only does this oyster accept, he adorns, but then he adopts. He adopts this grain of sand as his very own. 1 John 3:1 says, Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. I have been adopted into the family of God. You, if you're saved, you've been adopted into the family of God. You've been accepted into the beloved. You've been adorned by the blood of Jesus Christ. You've taken on a new appearance. Your past has been erased. They say in Tennessee, and I know every state's a little different, but when you adopt a child, his past is erased. And he's given a new name. Did you know this? I read this. Couldn't believe it. They said you can uninherit a child. I'm talking about a biological child. You can uninherit them, but you can't uninherit. My knees bothered me this morning, but don't make me jump on this first pew. Hallelujah. You can't uninherited, adopted child. I've been adopted into the beloved. Hallelujah. My past has been erased. I've been given a new name. There's a new name written in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. Now, let me give you this. I've given you the conception of the pearl, the covering of the pearl, but let me give you this, the consummation of this pearl. Divers go down into the ocean to retrieve these oysters from the ocean floor. One by one, they're opened, and the pearls are removed. And I found out that the most beautiful pearls and the most lustrous pearls are found in the lowest places. That's what Google said. Google don't even know nothing about the Bible. And they're telling me that the most beautiful, the largest, the most lustrous, the most expensive is found in the lowest of places. Isn't that something? And these divers go down, and you say, "Preacher, God won't save me. I've been too bad. You don't know what I've done." That makes the best pearls. These divers, when they retrieve the pearl, sometimes they have dirt on them and they have blemishes on them, but they're still pearls. They may have a blemish. They may have a spot here and there, but they're all still pearls. Now, some of you say, "Well, I'm not coming down there to Millsfield because there's a bunch of hypocrites down at the church." I said, "We'll have somebody scoot over. We'll make room for one more. Come on." There is no perfect church. There is no perfect preacher. There is no perfect song leader. There is no perfect Sunday school teacher. There is no perfect this, that, and the other. We're all been found on the bottom. And most of us, we all got a spot or a blemish or two here, there, yonder. Amen. Now you can find, if you look real hard, you may find fault in this church. If you look, you won't even have to look hard to find fault with the preacher. You may have to look high and low to find a fault with the church, but you won't have to look very far to find fault with the preacher. Guess what? I'm still a pearl. And if you're spending your time trying to find fault with the church and with the preacher, let me tell you what you need to do. Go to one of them antique stores that I spend a lot of time at, not of my own free will and voluntarily, and get you one of them big, big old full-length mirrors. And you walk by that thing every morning, and before you start looking at blemishes and stuff on other people, just walk by that mirror and you'll find plenty to keep you busy all day long. This consummation of this pearl, these skilled men are called peelers. And they remove the dirt and the spots and the blemishes. They shape that thing into perfection. And then they're ready to be put on display. Y'all not getting this sermon like I'm getting it. These peelers, they go down to the lowest ocean floor and they get these and they open that oyster and they get this pearl which might have a blemish, which might have an imperfection, which might have something on it, and they start polishing on that thing and rounding that thing and making it perfect before they put it on display for everybody else to see. Hallelujah. I think the Bible says something like this. In the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. You know that show, that word show, means to put on display. You know, when we get to heaven, the rapture of the church takes place and we're going to the judgment seat of Christ. And at the judgment seat of Christ, those men are going to take that pearl and get those blemishes off and wash it off and make it real nice and round and perfect before it's put on display at the marriage supper of the Lamb. When we're the church of the living God is in heaven walking around and all of this stuff, and God, the Lord Jesus Christ, walks by. If you want to see God's prized possession, God's not going to say, look at the sun, look at the moon, look at the stars, look at the universe that I created. He's going to say, look at the church, the bride of Christ, the pearl of great price. It cost me everything I had. I bankrupt heaven. It cost me my own son to buy that one pearl, to get it from the lowest of the ocean floor, wipe it clean, get the blemishes and make it perfect and put it on display here in heaven. Hallelujah. Bible says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it, cleanse it by the washing of the water, by the word. Why? That he may present it to himself. Put it on display. A glorious church, not having a spot or a wrinkle or any such thing, but that should be holy and without blemish. Google may have read the Bible, because that's what it said. Now, let me say this in closing. Linda brought me these, and I don't know if they're real or not. She didn't tell me. She just said, be careful. I said, have you got any? Last night I called her. I said, have you got any? And she said, yeah, I'll bring you. I said, I need some to preach with. And she said, you sure? She said, can you call anybody else? And she said, I'll bring them, but you be careful. Now, this is what I read. Again, this is what I read. When you buy pearls, especially if they're genuine and they're real, they come with some instructions. They come with instructions of how to clean them and all that kind of stuff and preserve them and that kind of thing. And then there was one that I read that said sometimes these real pearls, they come from a living organism, okay? And so these real pearls, sometimes they lose their sheen. They lose their luster. They lose their brilliance. And this is what it said. It said what you do when they do that, when they lose the sheen, when they lose the brilliance, when they lose the luster, you need to hold them. And they need to feel the oils off of something living. And their brilliance will come back. Amen. Because they're used to, they're used to being touched. Amen. I'm looking at some that may used to have the touch on you. You used to have the touch. And maybe you've been saved so long now, you just don't shine as bright as you used to. You've lost your brilliance. You've lost your luster. You just need God to put his hand on you, touch you. And once you get that touch, it won't be long. It won't be long till that shine will come back. That sheen will come back. That brilliance will come back. I'll be honest. Can I be honest with y'all? I have sung without the touch before. I've even preached without a touch before. But can I say this from experience? I've been preaching since I was about 19 or 20 years old. I don't remember. First sermon I preached to Charles Pauls. Got called to preach the next Thursday night. Brother Charles Callens and a bunch of other guys, they went to the Obion County Jail to preach every Thursday night. I got called to preach. He goes, "You're going with us Thursday night." I said, "Where?" "We're going to Obion County Jail." I said, "Really?" I said, "I just got called." He said, "That's good enough. We're going." I preached to them people in jail, Obion County Jail, the first time. And after that many years, it don't look much different than this morning, the looks that I'm getting this morning. But I can tell you this, now they got back on track, it sure is a whole lot better to sing with the touch. It's a whole lot better to preach with the touch. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you say, "What in the world are you talking about?" You probably ain't never been touched by the Master's strong hand. Let's stand with heads bowed, eyes closed. The altars of invitation is open. This merchant man went seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all he had and bought it. I'm glad I've been bought. Aren't you? Just a few minutes, if you need to come to the altar and pray about anything, right there in your seat, just say, "Lord, I want to feel your touch again. I want to feel your hands again on my life." The pearl of great price.